Good evening and welcome to Town Square. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. As we say every week, our conversations include you, and if you'd like to join us anytime during the hour, the phone lines are open. 941-3689 is the number to call if you're on Oahu and from the neighbor islands, or if you're listening to the live stream, 877-941-3689. Hotel to condo conversion isn't new. Honolulu has witnessed many projects that took hotel rooms out of circulation or offered them on a limited basis as timeshares. There are proposals for other properties, too. Beyond the rooms lost, though, jobs can also be sliced when a hotel goes condo, even when traditional hotel functions and amenities, including restaurants, are maintained. Now there's a bill before the Honolulu City Council creating criteria for redevelopment of hotels into condos, and it would also be a boost for affected workers. Unite Here Local 5 is behind it, and tonight we're going to consider the measure. In our studio, Council Member Ron Menor, who introduced the measure, which will be heard for the first time next Wednesday, and Jolie Tokusato, who is from guest services at the Ilokai Hotel. It also underwent conversion, and with the increased sell-off, she's concerned she may soon become a condo conversion statistic, too. And joining us by phone from Washington, D.C., Eric Gill, Secretary-Treasurer of Unite Here Local 5. The union represents approximately 10,000 hospitality, healthcare, and food service industry workers across Hawaii. And you, too. Again, our number is 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. If you've been affected by any hotel-to-condo conversion in any way, we want to hear from you. Thank you all for being here.
Glad to be here. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
And Eric, are you there?
Aloha. Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Just want to make sure that we can all still hear each other. Let me start with you a little bit just to give a snapshot with how all of this came to be. And as we witnessed so many projects that have undergone the conversion and taken hotels off the market and either recapitulated them as residential units, timeshares, what have you. Well, how many properties are we looking at?
You talk about how many properties may be at risk of condo conversion. The answer is all of them. What we are facing here is a global movement of capital, if you will, you know, where our hotels in Hawaii and elsewhere are no longer hotel properties to be operated as hotels, but in fact very attractive pieces of real estate that the big banks and global financiers are buying and selling in a, you know, building a bubble in the commercial real estate lodging sector. And so what this, the movement of money is such that if we don't do something, we could easily lose the tourist industry that our state depends upon and become instead a community for rich people buying condos as their second home. And the loss of the jobs that support our community. So we have had a unique position to observe and to confront this process, because we've had to bargain contracts for hotel workers against, with these various hotel corporations, and increasingly with the owners, which are no longer hotel corporations, but in fact, real estate investment vehicles. And so this is what we're seeing here in terms of condo conversion is an offshoot of what has happened in our industry over the last 10, 15, 20 years. And most people don't recognize it. And the danger is if we don't see what's happening and get ahead of it, our community will lose out, and the prosperity that we've built, painstakingly built here in Hawaii, could easily be lost.
The base point of what you're saying is that because the hotel industry itself has changed and hotels have become more commodities than places where people go to vacation, that's changed the very nature of how we do business in tourism in Hawaii when it comes to finding hotels for people and being able to have workers feel safe in their jobs there.
Well, I think that's one way to say it. What's really happening is this. The buying and selling and the constant escalation of price and the increasing mountains of debt that are being piled on as these bank corporations, you know, and this is the same thing they did in the residential real estate market, by the way, you know, basically get people to pile on debt until you can't afford the note. And that's what's happening on a much larger scale. It's like playing Monopoly. You know, they're buying and selling these hotels, and each time they buy and sell, the debt load goes up. It's the same property. It has the same number of hotel rooms. We're already running high occupancy. There's a limit to how much room rates can raise, and therefore the money pressure on whoever is the last buyer, who then looks at the balance sheet and says, "Well, I don't think I can make my note plus my margin by operating a hotel and getting the return on the hotel operation. Instead, we're going to sell it off as condos and get our money out, and that's fine for them. But it leaves us in Hawaii holding the bag with no jobs."
Is there any sort of correlation of how many times a hotel gets flipped before the condo conversion happens, when they get to the end of the line and realize they can't make their margin?
Well, it's not so much in the amount of time, although, you know, they're buying and selling again at near record rates here. It's really a question of how fast the debt service increases. And basically, when these banks price a hotel, they price it, you know, basically at cash flow, and, you know, basically the return on, you know, the annual return that can support a note. And they times that by a multiplier, basically a function of how optimistic you are about the hotel's operations. So in essence, if the bank looks at the cash flow and guesses the wrong multiplier, then they'll come up short. They won't be able to make their margin and return the investors money with the premium that they want to add on in terms of profit. And the money moves in such a way that each owner is going to look at how to increase that cash flow to support a bigger note, and that means, in essence, cutting jobs. Each time you want to increase the cash flow from a hotel operation, you reduce the labor costs. And so we've lost many, many jobs as these buying and sellings have happened, and at some point, some investor will guess wrong. It'll be the last one basically holding the bag, and then we'll see a condo conversion, which is, in fact, playing itself out at the Ilikai and endangering, you know, Jolie's job and the jobs of the rest of our members working there.
Which seems to be a good point to talk to Jolie just a little bit. So stay with us, Eric. You've been through this, and you told me before the show that you're concerned that although you still have a job, that may not be something that will last for all that much longer, that you may wind up being a statistic.
Absolutely. I have been at the Ilikai Hotel for 23 years now. When we first started, a guest didn't even need to leave the hotel. We provided everything they could possibly need. We had our own in-house laundry. We had banquet rooms. We had room service, just about everything that a full-service hotel can provide. And we used to have 500 workers, more than 500 workers. Today, we have approximately 200 rooms left. We have about 60 official workers, you know, in the hotel currently. But I've gone back to the property, and I've seen right now they've began to renovate the hotel. They're actually putting kitchens in the hotel rooms right now as we speak. And so because all of them are currently under renovations, the 60 workers are not working. Right now, I think yesterday there was like 10 or so, you know, housekeepers, that's what they tell me, and only about 2 workers at the front desk, which is very scary to me, you know, because that could be, I mean, I'm only been there 24 years. I mean, 23 years, almost 24 years. But in 2009, one of our owners had done a survey and found out that the average worker there was already over 20 years. So all of our workers have been there so long right now. They've dedicated their entire lives to the hotel, including myself. So me being at 23 years, I am very bottom right now, and I could very well go back to the hotel and find out I'm without a job.
When you talk to some of your other workers who are there who have also been there for 20-plus years, mm-hmm. and then you also talk with the owners, and there have been other owners that have come and gone along the way, do they have any real understanding of what it means to be part of a hotel's life for 2 decades?
I think for us, the management company, I mean, we only deal with the management companies itself. You know, we don't really have much to do with the owners So they are in the same situation as we are too. You know, I mean, part of the 500 plus workers were management as well as the union hotel workers. So for us, I think our managers are hoping that when they convert into the hotel, I mean, the hotel into a condominium, that those people who are now owners will actually put them into a hotel pool. But there are no guarantees that they are going to do that. So as far as as far as I know, we are all in the same situation, management, hotel workers, because we are the ones who live here, we're the ones who work here, and the people who actually own us are not here. And so I think it's very important that we start addressing it together, and, you know, everybody as a community.
Ron Manor, I want to get you into this conversation, too. Thank you for being here, council member. When you hear all of this talk about absentee ownership, and we've had these conversations kind of over and over again, is there the perception that it's escalating, or is that really in fact true?
I think that there's no question that it's escalating. And in regards to the conversion of our traditional hotels to timeshares or to condotels, that's a trend that's definitely been occurring. It's been increasing over the years, and it's a cause of major concern to policymakers such as myself. In fact, we had a hearing on a hotel-related bill recently, and one of the testifiers, very knowledgeable about the hotel industry, indicated that over the past several years that we've lost approximately 4,000 hotel rooms, traditional hotel rooms, and significant. The major reason for this is because of the conversion of traditional hotels to timeshares or to condotels. So the trend is definitely there, and it's very alarming and a matter of major concern.
Meanwhile, you have HTA out there doing its thing and trying to bring more people to Hawaii. Conversations about building other hotels, different hotels, looking at space, looking at infrastructure, all of that. We were hoping to have Mike McCartney here, but last week we were told that he couldn't join us. Have you had conversation with him about how all of this is playing into their plan for HTA?
Not so much with Mike, but with I've shared my concerns with other hotel executives. And I know I've had discussions with policymakers, both elected officials and appointed officials, about the trend. And we all support a stronger tourism industry. And in fact, if you look at the level of support that state and city governments have provided to our hotel industry, it's been substantial. I mean, you know, the state government has provided millions of dollars in tourism support. In addition, the state and city governments, in particular the city governments, have granted permit approvals for major hotel developments in the past. And we've done so because what we've wanted to promote is a tourism industry that provides a quality, good-paying local jobs, and that supports our hotel workers in traditional hotels. But the fact is that notwithstanding the substantial investment that has been made by governments to the hotel industry, that we're seeing this alarming trend where the owners of the hotels, many of which are the Wall Street banks and financial interests, they've realized tremendous profits. But the fact is that the prosperity that the hotel industry has experienced has not necessarily been shared by the hotel workers. And what especially concerns me is the fact that we've lost thousands of hotel jobs in Hawaii, on this island.
Councilmember, does that make you feel that somehow there's been a betrayal to all the support that was given in past?
Well, I just am very concerned because, the main reason why the hotel industry executives have sought legislative support for the industry is because they have said that tourism benefits Hawaii, it benefits our people, and it benefits our economy. To some extent, that's occurred, but to a large extent, it hasn't, in that many of our hotel employees, in fact, have been hurt by this trend towards condo conversions and conversion to timeshare. So I think that if government's going to continue supporting our hotel industry, then we've got to do everything we can to protect a good-paying hotel jobs, and that's why I've introduced the bill that I have, which would regulate condo conversions.
And I want to talk about the bill at length in just a second, but if you are just joining us tonight on Town Square, we're talking about the conversion of hotels to condos, what that means for workers, what that means for our general economy. I've got in the studio with me Councilmember Ron Manor and Jolie Tokusato, who is from guest services at the Ilikai Hotel, which, as you know, underwent conversion. And she's also concerned that she may not find herself with a job very soon. Joining us by phone from Washington, D.C. is Eric Gill, the Secretary-Treasurer of Unite Here, Local 5. And Eric, do you feel or have you had any conversations with Mike McCartney about how this potentially looks like a betrayal of all the government support that has been given to tourism?
Yeah, I've had many conversations with Mike and others. We bargain with people in the industry all the time. And it's important to note that there are many, in fact, most of the people in the industry, workers and management alike, absolutely want to see hotels continue to operate so we can all have jobs and our community can have some money. And our interest as a community, both management and union, and even big management companies, you know, their bread and butter is serving the owners. They're not going to speak up. But if you talk privately to the main people that actually run tourism, nobody likes the idea of losing our tourist plant and having it replaced with, in essence, a residential condo mix. Everybody's worried about this stuff. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is create a public discussion about the future of tourism. Now, you know, I'm not one to mince words, but, you know, when you use the word betrayal, I mean, we have to be fair about this. The people who were originally given permits to build hotels were hoteliers. You know, for example, I've worked all these years, almost 40 years now at the Sheraton Waikiki. That's where I hold my seniority. And the Osano family was given permits to build the Sheraton Waikiki right on the beach. And the Osano family is now keeping its word back to the community. You know, Takamasa Osano a week ago met with us and made public statements. Basically, we spent billions of dollars to buy out the hedge funds and the banks out of our properties, and we're here to stay in Hawaii. And so, you know, it's not the people who made the promise to Hawaii that are the problem. It's they're gone, and others have bought and sold, and they didn't make a promise, and they don't feel any obligation. And so what we need is an industry that actually is a tourist industry, that's a hotel industry, that intends to operate and be a hotel industry, and we need to get our hotels off of this real estate bubble that the banks have turned to in the search for high profits for their investors.
Yeah, the buy and flip, the buy and flip cycle.
Yeah, and that's what's been happening. And, you know, we saw it just happen just a couple of days ago. You know, the Aston down at the end of the strip sold, you know, and the owner that sold it was there less than 2 years. And the new guys are coming in and they're saying, wow, this is a great investment. And they described Waikiki as having outsized growth potential. And the truth is that, you know, that Hawaii tourism is a gold mine for banks and investors, which is why all this money is flowing in. And this is also why our community has to be very careful. We shouldn't be jumping at every project. We shouldn't be doing whatever anybody with money wants us to do. We should be figuring out what's our plan for our future. What kind of employment do we want? How do we make our only real natural resources, which means, you know, basically our beachfront and the ability of Hawaii's people through our aloha spirit to attract, you know, people to come here and spend money. That's what supports us all. And our interests as a community, whether it be workers like what we represent or the managers that run the operation we work for or the local businesses who depend on our paychecks to, you know, give them some money, you know, so that we can buy things from them, to the local banks and the local, you know, the local community as a whole is faced where we have to confront and come up with a collective solution on how we're going to deal with this global banking phenomenon that can sweep our prosperity and our future away, you know.
Eric, how do you do that, though, when, as you said a moment ago, there aren't a lot of people who want to have this conversation publicly, that, you know, what's being talked about in quiet corners is very different from the public discussion, and yet at the same time trying to, you know, foment a public discussion so that this doesn't keep happening. How do you actually make that discussion move forward if you have people who don't really want to come forward and talk about this publicly?
Well, that's what we're doing, and thankfully we have responsible leaders like Ron Minor who are willing to put this on the, you know, it's going to be a very controversial measure, and by no means is the condo conversion legislation that we are contemplating here, it's by no means even a complete solution. What it is, it's a way for us to have this conversation. It's a necessary measure we need to take, but we need to go far beyond that. And that means that we have to have a public discussion. So Local 5 has made it our mission to instigate that discussion.
And we're talking about it tonight on Town Square. And just very briefly, if you have been affected by a condo conversion in any way, we want to hear from you. Our number is 941-3689. If you're on Oahu, that's the number to call, 941-3689. If you're on the neighbor islands or if you are someplace else, including Washington, D.C., listening to the live stream, you can get to us at 877-941-3689. Ron Minor, given the fact that, as Eric Gill just said, we are so attractive to investors, doesn't that really mean that we've got a heck of a lot of leverage and we should be picking and choosing who we let in?
That's my feeling. I think that we do have a lot of leverage, and it's incumbent upon policymakers, including on the city level, where we have the authority to issue permits for the development of transient accommodations in Waikiki and throughout the island, that we ought to be exercising that power, that authority, in a responsible manner to ensure that if the tourism industry grows, that it grows in a fashion that will be beneficial to all of the people of Hawaii and for our entire economy.
So what kind of litmus test would you see in choosing who you'd like to see come into Waikiki?
Well, I think we need to do everything we can to preserve our existing inventory of hotel rooms. We cannot see a further erosion in our hotel rooms. In terms of our traditional hotel rooms. And if new developments come in, then I think we ought to be doing everything to incentivize and encourage the construction of more traditional full-service hotels as opposed to these condo hotels as well as timeshares. I'm coming from a perspective as a policymaker, not only because I'm concerned about how these conversions are hurting our hotel employees and creating financial hardships for them and their families, but I'm also looking at it from the perspective of a government official who recognizes that tourism has generated and must continue to generate substantial tax revenues for the important government programs and services that we need in terms of public infrastructural improvements, in terms of improvements to our roads and parks.
Because the TAT flows back into the county.
The TAT, the excise taxes, so on and so forth. But the fact is that when you have these condo conversions, it is jeopardizing and eroding the ability of government to maximize tax revenues that can be generated from our hotel industry. For example, when you lose thousands of jobs, that means a loss of tax revenue. In addition, if you look at condo hotels, they really pay a lot less in regards to the TAT, the GET, and income tax revenue to the state and city governments. Because, you know, when you look at the condo hotels, many of the condominium owners wind up not participating in the hotel rental pool. And so they wind up not paying the TAT that other traditional hotel rooms or operators have to pay. So in general, you know, I think the trend towards conversion is impacting the ability to generate needed revenues for important government services and programs. So we need to do everything we can to encourage more traditional hotel development in the future.
An annual percentage of what's realized from the TAT is what, about 40, 41 million, 42 million?
About that much, right.
And how much has been lost or would be lost if we lose, say, you know, if there are about 5,000 rooms now, including some that are currently in play as well as those that are already lost? Is there any sense of what it might look like in the next year if, in fact, we see more condos hotels turned into condos?
Yeah, so I can cite a statistic. It's my understanding that the that there's been an estimate that the average TAT, or transient accommodation tax, GET, or that's the excise tax, the income tax lost, is over $3,300 per unit per year for every unit not entered into a rental pool at a condo hotel. And as I indicated, a substantial number of these condotel units are not in fact being put into the rental pool, but in fact are being rented out or occupied by the owners for some other purpose. So when you take those that number and you multiply it by the substantial number,
5,000 rooms or 7,000 rooms or whatever,
you're talking some substantial loss of revenue.
Discrepancy whether it's 5,000 or 7,000, they're possibly in the pool. But the point of it is, it's a lot of money.
That's
we're going to take several calls now. If you'd like to join us, call us sooner rather than later. 941-3689 if you're on Oahu, and 877-941-3689 if you're calling us from the neighbor islands or listening to the live stream someplace else. Going first now to Ted, calling us from Kailua. Aloha, Ted. Thanks for your patience.
Aloha. So I just want to make a quick point. First off, I live in a condotel in town. I first moved into a condotel 10 years ago. And the fundamental reason underlying problem here is that Oahu is in a housing crisis. And let me just give you three quick statistics to back that up. The February resale values on homes on Oahu, the median value is $679,000, up 13% from a year ago. At that rate, it's going to crack a million in the spring of 2017. The average rent of an apartment within 10 miles of Honolulu, is $22,000 a year plus utilities. The per capita income on Oahu is $30,000 a year before taxes. The homelessness that we see so rampant on the island is just a symptom of that problem. And the fundamental problem there is that the city and the state are subsidizing, or at least often subsidizing, and certainly encouraging and promoting job growth on the island without adequately planning and encouraging housing development.
For workforce housing. So quick question for you, Ted.
Until something's done about that, the situation's going to get worse.
Right. I mean, none of these things are happening in a vacuum. I mean, that's for certain. But for you making the decision to buy a condo through a conversion.
I'm renting.
You're renting it. Okay, so you didn't buy it, but that became affordable to you. All right. Thanks so much for calling us, Ted. We appreciate you sharing your experience.
Thank you.
Could I briefly respond? Yes. So I'm very sensitive to the concern that's been expressed. In fact, one of the key issues that I've been working on as a city council member is to try to encourage the development of affordable rentals. There's definitely a significant severe shortage of affordable rental housing in Hawaii. And I think the city's got to be more proactive in getting these affordable units developed. I think that we need to impose tougher requirements, stronger requirements on the developers of major residential housing projects to set aside a more significant percentage of the units that they market or sell for affordable housing. But that's an affordable housing issue, and the city and state's definitely got to address it. But as far as, you know, trying to meet that need through the conversion of traditional hotels to condo hotels, you're just creating more problems by going in that direction.
All right. We've got some callers on the line. If you want to join us now, 941-3689 if you're on Oahu, or from the neighbor islands, 877-941-3689. Going to Dan calling us from the Big Island. Aloha, Dan. Welcome to Town Square.
Yes, hi. I was just listening to the conversation. Sounds like a good one. I actually happen to own two condo hotel rooms over at Kauai Beach Resort that I just purchased in the last 3 years. And we operate both of our rooms just like a regular hotel room. Guests wouldn't even know the difference. We market them individually from the hotel, but we have a very good working relationship with the hotel management group. And so as far as there's any loss of earnings to the hotel, as well as we pay a substantial amount of association dues every month, and we contribute back to your GET and your transient accommodation tax. So I don't know that maybe on Oahu that's an issue, but for hotels, maybe like I forget the one in Keoho that went out of business, converting that to a condo hotel might be a good pathway to go. We cannot convert our rooms with a kitchen. So it makes sense for us to continue to rent to the general public. Most of our guests are coming in from California, Washington, Canada, and just like they would normally.
All right, let me ask this of Eric Gill. Is Dan's experience unique?
No, I think the part that, like, I mean, Dan is putting his rooms up for rent. So I assume by his comments that he's paying the appropriate taxes.
He said that he is. But looking at this whole discussion.
But there are many thousands of people who are renting the rooms who aren't paying the right taxes. But the question that is raised here is, it's not just the TNT. Generated. Now nationally, there's in a full service hotel, you'll have one job, full time job generated for each hotel room. Now, I'm not trying to criticize you, Dan, or anyone else, but it is unlikely that Dan is going to be paying a pension or a full family medical or a retirement medical or a, you know, what amounts to a $21-$22 average hourly rate on top of those benefits. You know, and giving people a $40 job so that they can make money and live here in Hawaii. And, you know, there are the question of condotels is ultimately, it's a question of an erosion of job space, income tax off of a full-time hotel worker job. One of our members right now is making on the order of $27, $28 an hour in terms of total benefits and wages. That's money that stays here in Hawaii. So typically, people who rent hotels off the internet, and there are many of them that do that, and it is a complex situation. You know, for example, it does affect the housing market, and in fact, many people are renting pieces of their home in order to make the note on the overpriced house that they bought. So it's a very complex question.
Forgive me for interrupting you, but I guess the bottom line point that you're trying to make about what Dan had to say is that this is a lot more than whether someone who has a condo hotel is in fact paying the taxes associated with it. It goes far more into the line of benefits and all the other assorted things that happen when someone is employed.
Right, and in this case, you know, the fact that he doesn't have kitchens in his units, you know, induces him and encourages him and incentivizes him to put it back into the rental pool, which at least generates TAT. And I'm assuming he pays someone to clean and pays him something, so it's not like there's nothing there.
All right.
But this is the problem. If you have a kitchen, and this is what's happening at Idikai. Once you put a kitchen in there,
it becomes more self-sufficient.
And it makes it possible to lose that room from the inventory, even if you're able to preserve, you know, jobs from it.
All right, let's take some more calls. We've got them stacking up, and a lot of people want to talk to all of you. Going to go now to Dan calling us from Kapolei, another Dan. Aloha, thank you for your patience. Yes.
Yeah, I do home inspections for home buyers, and I've inspected a number of the units that have been converted or are being converted for the buyers. And by and large, the vast majority of the buyers expect to keep them in the rental pool. It may not be necessarily through the hotel, but the services are there, the rental's being provided, they're not being lost from the market. And it bothers me a lot to listen to the conversation saying that, oh, these are all going away. Yeah, the union jobs may be going away, and that's the way the market works. It's a free market. And I think that part of what should be included in this was mentioned just a minute ago about bed and breakfast and short-term vacation rentals in people's homes, because that should be a part of our market mix here, and there haven't been any more licenses granted for that since the 80s.
Well, the point being that none of these issues are happening in and of themselves. They're all related, however, tangentially, and in this case, directly. But tonight, we're just going
to
take...
One more point
I'd like
to make is that the people that invested in a number of these hotels mm-hmm. were paying $400,000 per unit for a little tiny room. We're talking, you know, 300 square feet or so. Mm-hmm. Paying $400,000 per unit and discovering that they weren't making their return on it, and then they start parceling them out, just to minimize their loss because they made a foolish investment in the first place.
Right, and that sort of goes back to the idea of not knowing what you're getting into and trying to maintain some control over the debt service, which is quite like what happens with the investor who buys the hotel in the first place. Thanks very much, Dan, for the call.
You bet.
Jolie. I wanted to say, you know, the state does pay a lot of money to Brant Hawaii that's passed the Aloha Spirit Law, and they, I think, spent $86 million trying to bring the tourists here. The traditional hotels that I once worked for, they train us, intense training, for us to provide a very good guest experience. And the point that Dan was bringing up, I felt compelled to say that, you know, at the Ilikai Hotel, for instance, yeah, a number of them have been purchased already. And I see the consequences of that. You know, I see workers that are hired by some of the privately owned condominiums now that they do rent out as hotel rooms online. They'll come to the, they'll go and sell the rooms online to the guest. They'll give them a lockbox experience where they'll provide a lockbox key so they can go to the room itself and start punching buttons, and that's how they access the room. They don't have the experience that our hotel guests do, where they have contact with the front desk and
the concierge and a lot of the amenities that one would expect at a hotel.
Exactly. And the owners are not actually, you know, a lot of them don't actually live there. So if their toilet goes afoul, or if they say they're trying to receive medical equipment, for instance, you know, that's more a dire consequence. Where somebody who's renting an independently owned vacation unit, they'll try and say, oh, they'll order something like medical equipment. We can't accept that for them, you know, and they're very and it's not because we don't want to, because we don't know who's staying in those units. So there presents a lot of problems, you know. Also, for the workers who actually are working there, you know, I see them in the parking garage eating their lunch, you know, in the parking garage, because they don't have the facility like we do, where we have a dedicated housekeeping department where we keep our equipment. They'll have little carts, shopping carts with toilet paper and things like that, and then they're waiting to go up to an individual unit to clean here or there. And I've spoken to some of them, and I said, are you getting the benefits that, you know, that we are currently provided with our traditional hotel jobs? And they say no, they don't. But they say, oh, we get paid nice, but for them, you know, they don't know how we are surviving quite nicely, you know, and for them, you know, it's easily they're easily exploited, and because that's to them, it's a good job. So for me, seeing that, I think that's my future if we don't start addressing the conversion of hotels. It's very disturbing for the guest who is not getting the services that we are well trained to provide for them.
And disturbing for you to see all this happening and not be able to do anything about it except to have conversations with them about how these workers are being paid a little differently than
exactly.
You are, and to know the disparity between the two. We've got several callers on the line. We're going to go now to Maritas calling us from Honolulu. Aloha. Welcome to Town Square.
Hi, my name is Maritas. I'm working at the Moana. Me and my husband are working at a hotel, and we are worried that this condo conversion issue is a threat for us because of the possibility of losing our jobs. Yeah, what happens to Ilikai will happen to our hotel, and I believe that this issue needs to be addressed to avoid forcing more unemployment in the future.
Well, certainly the union is trying to do that, but Maritas, are you looking for another job? Are you making sort of a contingency plan in case this happens at your hotel, as you think it might?
Yeah, we will, but we want to save our job, because this good paying jobs will a sustainable job for me. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Going now to Tambri, calling us from Kalihi.
And thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm a community member, and I want to say that these condo conversions really impact everyone down the line. When the workers are displaced because of the condo conversion and they're not working in the industry, they can't shop at our local places. They can't support the local businesses that continue to support the community. So this is really a community issue. And that's why, as a community member, I work alongside and a lot of these workers that are getting displaced because of the condo conversion. and trying to make the broader community understand that this is something about our home and our place that we live in. And if we continue to allow the condo conversion to happen, all of these workers then are taken out of the kind of the financial pool that supports everybody, all the other industries on the island.
All right, Tabby, I want to just stop you there because I want to have some time to talk about what this bill would do. So thank you so much for your call.
Okay.
Aloha.
Yeah, and yeah, if thanks. You Could would I like make a brief point.
Sure, go ahead.
The this is not about us just trying to defend union jobs. We're not going to apologize for building the third highest standard for wages and benefits in the hotel industry in the country. We're not going to apologize for that. That is, in fact, what has made Hawaii prosperous. And as opposed to other communities where there isn't a strong presence for, you know, to drive wages and benefits, you'll have minimum wage workers and no benefits where we get good benefits and good wages. So we're not going to apologize for that. But this is a question ultimately beyond that. The wages are important. But if we want to have a tourism industry that can offer what the world wants to buy, then we have to have a tourist industry that's active on the beachfront. And here's the problem. You know, to the extent that we have aging properties out on the beachfront, and they are aging, even the newest of them are 30, 40, 50 years old, there's substantial money that needs to go into them to renovate them every year. As long as this buying and selling goes on, at some point the numbers don't pencil out. And the conversion of those buildings into condos will remove that resource, our beachfront, that's able to drive the high room rates. You ask anybody in the hotel business, how can you get high room rates? You have to be on the beachfront. If you put your hotel two blocks off the beach, you're not going to get the high room rates. And we need high room rates. We need to be able to drive high room rates so that we can drive good benefits and jobs for our people here.
All right, can I stop you there for a second?
Work for us.
Right. I want to stop you there for a second just because I see the clock moving along and I want to be able to talk about this particular bill. When you drafted this bill, I mean, was there first an idea to put a moratorium or a ban on hotel to condo conversion?
Well, we were looking at different options, but ultimately, I came to the conclusion that the best approach would be regulatory. I'm also being practical in terms of the fact that if we're going to get a bill passed, we have to get a majority of my colleagues to buy into it.
Yeah, will this thing fly or not?
So an absolute moratorium, I think, would have been a very difficult sell and perhaps would be going too far. So instead, we're talking about a bill that would regulate and setting up a regulatory scheme that would allow for some condo conversions to occur in the future.
Okay, because not to put your head in the sand and think it's not going to happen. You know it's going to happen, but how you regulate it might help it happen a little bit better. So specifically, what does that process look like?
Okay, so this is the bill we're talking about is Bill 16. I recently introduced it. As you indicated, it's coming up for its first council reading and hearing next Wednesday during our regular council meeting, and that's going to be held in Kapolei. And basically, the objective is to try to preserve the existing stock of tourist hotel guest rooms and to assure that a sufficient number of tourist hotel guest rooms are available. And the way you would accomplish that would be to set up a regulatory scheme in which if a hotel owner wanted to proceed with a condotel conversion, that they would have to apply for a hotel conversion permit approval. And in order to set up this regulatory scheme, this bill proposes the enactment of a new ordinance that would designate or delegate the responsibility for the review and issuance of a permit, hotel conversion permit, to an appropriate city agency that as yet we haven't identified, and that's going to be a part of the discussion process. And the key provision here is that if an owner wants to obtain a hotel conversion permit, that they've got to demonstrate that the hotel conversion project will not have a significant and negative impact on the availability of hotel guest rooms in that particular project. So,
Also not negatively impact workers?
And workers as well. So it's going to be up to the appropriate city department to look at the permit and all the information and data that will be provided by the hotel owner and make the appropriate findings before issuing the permit.
And what kind of time frame? Or is there not one built into it yet? So somebody applies for a permit. I mean, if they know that going into it, that maybe it's going to be a while before they get that permit to be able to convert, maybe that might mitigate whether they want to think about doing the conversion or not.
Yeah, this bill doesn't specify time frames. Generally speaking, whenever the city council adopts an ordinance that relates to land use approvals, we delegate to the appropriate regulatory agency, the responsibility to come up with appropriate rules which can set forth the specific time frames or periods. But the kind of issue that you've just raised are details that can be and will be discussed in the context of this bill. I also want to point out that while I strongly support this bill, and I hope that it will ultimately be adopted and passed, I agree with Eric that another important reason for my introducing this bill is to stimulate more of a public discussion regarding this very important issue that's impacting our hotel industry and workers.
So what I hear you saying is that you're not ultimately wedded to this bill as such, but you're definitely wedded to talking about this issue and moving it toward a better solution.
That's correct.
All right. Our number is 941-3689. If you're on Oahu, that's the number to call. We're talking about hotel to condo conversions, 941-3689, 877-941-3689. Just talking a little bit about a bill that Ron Manor has introduced and will be heard next week on Wednesday in front of the Honolulu City Council, what that might mean. He says it's the start of a conversation. We're having one now. We want to know how you feel about hotel to condo conversion, 941-3689, 877-941-3689. Jolie?
We have actually reached out. The IKEA movement, that's a...
through Local 5.
Yeah, it's a political movement, social movement. It's made up of community people, professional groups, student groups. There's a number of organizations under the umbrella of IKEA. And what we've been trying to do is we've been going out door knocking. We've actually spoke to about 6,000 people. We've gone to neighborhood board meetings. We've gone to speak to our legislators who may not have been aware. We actually submitted a resolution this past week that we're hoping to address this issue as well. So we're hoping, we're also holding a rally the day after the first hearing at the City Hall. It's the IKEA rally. It's a Hawaii Can rally. Good jobs for everyone. We want to invite everybody. It's going to be at Honolulu Hale at 4:45 on Thursday.
I tell you what, we'll put that up on the Facebook page. But as you were talking to people and knocking on those, 6,000 doors-ish, what even if there were 2,000, are people aware of this?
No, that's the scary part. Because Ilikai is a unionized hotel, you know, we have a voice, we have the resources, the people that we can contact each other and bring this out into the open, as well as being in IKEA. But a lot of the conversion that already happened, those are non-union hotels. Those people who have already lost their jobs and everything, that's they haven't been able to reach out to the public like we can. So when we go door to door and we speak to the legislators and when we speak to people on the bus and small businesses, we've also approached small businesses. We a lot of them are surprised, and they've actually signed on their support to regarding this issue. And I think that's a really important thing that we need to have that conversation. That's how we've been bringing it out through the IKEA movement. So,
Eric Gill, wasn't there a demonstration about the conversion at the Ilikai not that long ago? What, last summer?
Yes, we've been struggling with this problem for years now, and it is, in fact, directly a problem. The current owner of the Ilikai acquired it through foreclosure because the guy before him had too many balls in the air and couldn't make the note and had to go belly up, and the bank ended up with it. And the bank just wants to get out, so they want to sell these units and move on, and that would leave, unless we can find another way to preserve the jobs, would leave people without jobs. So we've been struggling with this for years now, and you know, it's just, you know, what we realize is that this is not a problem that we can solve at the bargaining table. The people we bargain with are the hotel operators. They want to keep the jobs, too. The banks that own it, that are calling the shots, are not the ones generally who, you know, who bargain with us. And even if we could bargain it, we're restricted from bargaining stuff like future private property rights and so on. That's federal law. So we're reaching out to the broader community because this is a problem that affects all of us. This is something that we can't solve alone. We have no illusions we can solve it alone. So we're basically reaching out and saying, come on, guys, let's all talk about this and figure out something so that our community doesn't go down the tube.
Well, for those of you listening, we're talking about the conversion of hotels to condos, and you guys have been a little bit quiet tonight. Maybe Eric Gill is right. Maybe Jolie is right, too, that people just aren't paying attention to this issue until it hits them squarely in the face, which it might do coming around through the connection of tourism. 941-3689 is our number if you're on Oahu, or 877-941-3689. What do we do when we have rooms that drop out of the hotel inventory? They're converted for maybe housing use or for timeshares, but they're no longer part of the experience for an average tourist, perhaps, not with the same kind of amenities and all the things that maybe you expect when you go to a hotel in a resort area. What do we do about it, and how do you feel about hotel to condo conversion? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going now to Amy calling us from Mililani. Aloha, Amy. Welcome to Town Square. Amy, you're there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can, yes, thanks.
Okay. I'm a teacher at Mililani High School, and I wanted to say that even in Mililani, we have a lot of young people, students, who are concerned about the implications of what's happening with respect to the tourism industry for their future. And some of my students have actually started to organize with the IKEA movement. So I think that island-wide, there's kind of a growing awareness of how the ripple-out effects of these changes are going to affect most of the people living in Hawaii.
And future workers and the high school students that you're working with now.
Correct.
All right, Amy, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I just want to point out one thing.
Go ahead.
On a personal note, I'm glad Amy and I agree on this issue because she is also my my son's AP history teacher. She's an outstanding teacher at Mililani High School.
You get her to call.
No, I didn't.
All right. Never mind. We're going to move on. Matt calling us from Eva Beach. Aloha, Matt.
Thanks for taking my call. Eric was mentioning things about property rights, and if we can't limit what these hoteliers do with their property rights to convert it later on, what can we do as a community? Or if I'm running for office in Eva Beach, if I become a lawmaker, what could I do as a lawmaker to affect future uses of property rights that would be fair and would help save hotel jobs and prevent an overabundance of condos?
All right, there's a question for you, Eric. I mean, that seems to be the question that everyone is asking. How do you preserve inventory? How do you create more housing? How do you allow tourists to have the kind of experience that we've been putting out there to the world that we provide? All of those things, and balance it in such a way that everybody gets what he or she needs.
Yeah, the question of private property rights is a very difficult one for many reasons that I won't bore you with, and many that you can probably imagine. But in essence, when you have private property rights, we've always had private property rights. People have the right to do what they want to do with their property in general. And yet the government has placed many restrictions on what you can do. We have zoning restrictions that only allow you to do certain things in certain districts. We have even quasi-government, not even government, but if you go to Mililani, for example, and you want to buy a home, you have to agree to the covenants of the homeowners association and so on. There are many ways to kind of guide property rights into a socially responsible development position, and regulatory is one. That's what Councilman Minor is attempting on this one. But ultimately, we've got to do something to get our basic hotel plant off of the bubble. We've got to find a way to get it. We've got to find a way to buy and hold our crucial beachfront resource. And I think that's actually quite possible if we as a community made up our mind and we decided to make that investment in our future, we could actually acquire these properties. You know,
Eric, excuse me, how would we do that? I mean, because I hear you in some ways pining for the days when there were when there really were hoteliers who would do a lot of the things that we've talked about tonight. But aside from trying to get into the Wayback Machine and recreate those days, how do you think it would be possible to make that happen?
Right now. Those days are right now. I mean, if you look at who owns Hilton Hawaiian Village, it's not owned by some bank. I mean, the bank holds the note. But that bank put together an investment group, and an investment group is large public pension funds. We're talking CalPERS and CalSTRS and these big, huge investors. And so these funds are looking for a return on their investment. And hotels can return a decent return on the investment. The problem is that this public money, the non-private money, the pension fund money of working people across the country is being used, is being driven in a parasitic fashion. And it could easily be a buy and hold. If, you know, I run a pension fund, if our pension fund got a, you know, can meet its actuarial projections and its return on investment, you know, that's a good investment. And hotels can return that. The problem is that we're being it's not only the return on investment that they're looking at. They're looking for a big double-digit payout. And, of course, the bankers take a nice, healthy bonus off this. What we need to do is we need to find investors and put together investor groups that want to buy and hold and have that be the deal. Let's hold our assets. Let's take them off the market. We don't have to eliminate private property rights. This real estate can be held by us. There's already Hawaii retirement system money being invested in hotels. This is our money. We can decide as a community how to invest it.
Eric, we're running short of time. We're running short of time, and I just want to ask you very briefly, because the animal that you're describing, the buy and hold investor, is very different from what we've talked about all hour. Those who get in, they see the debt service mounting, they try to flip and get out what they can. The next one gets stuck with it, and so it mounts. How do we really find that buy and hold investor right now?
Well, I think we'll have to create it. I mean, this is not rocket science. I mean, people are doing this all over the place. There's hedge funds and private equity funds and all kind of funds being put together. We need to find an investment vehicle or create one that will serve the interests of this community and secure the assets. And our fundamental asset is our beach fund. We've got to secure that. We can't lose that. If we lose that, we lose the whole game.
I want to thank you so much for joining us. I know it's a lot later where you are in D.C. We appreciate the fact that you spent some time with us tonight.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I'd like to talk about this.
Well, we'll talk about it more, because one thing is for certain, it's not a done deal by any means. Eric Gill from Local 5, thanks very much for joining us. Want to just close us out. Jolie, thank you so much for being here. I really, your stories are very, very compelling. If you had to leave listeners with one thought about this, you as someone who is experiencing this, what do you want them to know?
I want them to know that I do put a lot of hope in the ICAA movement, because it is a political movement where we go into have people taking their political power back, making the politicians accountable to us, because we're the ones who have to live here. So come to the rally, of course.
Jolie Takusato, thank you very much for being here. Ron Manor, just 30 seconds. If you had to encapsulate all of this for where we are right now, where are we?
Definitely say that this bill addresses, Bill 16 addresses a very important issue. I encourage your listeners to please contact your city council members to provide input on this important legislation.
And know that this is the beginning of a conversation doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be the end, because it can't be. Thanks to all of you for joining us tonight. We will continue this conversation, you can bet, and we'll have some more conversation tomorrow morning at 8 on The Conversation. I'll see you then. Meanwhile, have a good evening. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Aloha.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from the four hospitals of Hawaii Pacific Health: Kapi'olani Medical Center, Palimomi, Straub, and Wilcox Health. We're four hospitals helping Hawaii to be powered by health. Learn more at hawaiipacifichealth.org.
A fascinating new study shows not doing well on the Olympic stage can cost a country ambassadors.
In 76, we came in third in total medals to East Germany, and we actually lost ambassadors after those Olympics.
I'm Sarah McConnell. Join me for With Good Reason, tonight at 6:30 on Hawaii Public Radio.